KSDP, 830 AM in Sandpoint, K201DA, 88.1 FM in King Cove, KOLD, 91.9 FM in Cold Bay, KFPS, 88.1 FM in Falls Pass, and KKQA, 88.1 FM in Akutan, Alaska.
It's time now for your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset. Starting with your coastal water forecast, courtesy of the National Weather Service of Anchorage, Alaska. From Sitkanap to Castle Cape, small craft advisory today. Today, northwest winds 25 knots, diminishing to 15 in the afternoon, seas at 4 feet. Tonight, variable winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet. And Thursday, east winds 15 knots, seas 4 feet. Castle Cape to Cape Tolstoy, small craft advisory Thursday. Today, variable winds 10 knots, seas 2 feet. Tonight, east winds 20 knots, seas 3 feet with rain and snow. And Thursday, northeast winds 25 knots, seas 6 feet with rain and snow. Cape Tolstoy to Cape Sarasheft, small craft advisory through Thursday. Today, east winds 15 knots, increasing to 25 in the afternoon, seas 4 feet with rain and snow. Tonight, east winds 25 knots, seas 8 feet with rain and snow. And Thursday, northeast winds 25 knots, seas 8 feet with rain and snow. Port Hyde and Nelson Lagoon. Today, northeast winds 15 knots, seas 5 feet. Tonight, east winds 15 knots, seas 4 feet. And Thursday, northeast winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet. Nelson Lagoon to Cape Sarasheft. Today, east winds 20 knots, seas 6 feet. Tonight, east winds 20 knots, seas 4 feet with rain and snow. And Thursday, northeast winds 20 knots, seas 6 feet with rain. Your detailed forecast for the Alaska Peninsula. Today, partly cloudy in the morning, then mostly cloudy with scattered snow and rain showers. Highs in the mid-20s to upper 30s. East winds 15 miles an hour. Tonight, snow likely in the evening, then snow and rain likely after midnight. Snow accumulation can be up to an inch. Lows in the mid-20s to mid-30s. East winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. And Thursday, snow and rain likely in the morning, then rain and snow in the afternoon. Little to no snow accumulation. Highs in the mid-20s to upper 30s. Northeast winds 10 to 20 miles per hour with gusts to 35. Your tide predictions for the Popoff Island. There was a high tide at 2:46 at 6 feet, 6 inches. A low at 8:24 a.m. at 2 feet, 3 inches. A high at 2:16 p.m. at 7 foot, 2 inches. And a low tonight at 8:49, a minus tide of 1 inch. Your sun rose at 9:03 this morning, and your sun will set at 8:40, giving us 11 hours and 38 minutes of daylight hours. And that was your weather, tide predictions, and sunrise and sunset here on KSDP and KAEB. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Today on KUCB News, the Museum of the Aleutian weighs community program cuts amid federal funding uncertainty. Meanwhile, slashes to Medicaid could severely affect Alaskans. All of that and more coming up.
Programming on KUCB is made possible by GCI. Fiber Plus Internet is now available in Unalaska. GCI now offers high-speed internet in your community at the same plans and same pricing as Anchorage. More information at gci.com/internet.
You're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM Unalaska. It's Wednesday, March 12, 2025. I'm Taylor Heckert with some local news. The new federal administration has created widespread uncertainty about government funding for organizations nationwide, including those here in Unalaska. KUCB is speaking with various organizations across the island to understand how these changes are affecting Unalaskans. Among those affected is the Museum of the Aleutians, the region's only museum that depends on federal funds. I spoke with Museum Director Virginia Hatfield about the impact on their organization. So a twofold question here. So how much of your organization's budget relies on federal funding, and how have the recent funding cuts affected MOTA?
Pretty much all of our, a lot of our activity that people see is funded by federal or state grants. And a lot of the state grants are federal grants to the states. So we worry about those as well. I would say we are primarily supported by the city with a city community support grant. That's probably 80% of our operations. The federal grants are funding the help that we need to deal with collections that come in so that we can get them housed and stored properly.
So are your collections programs what are most vulnerable with these? Is your collection most vulnerable when it comes to these federal funding cuts then?
Absolutely. That is exactly right. We get a lot of our supplies from the grant funding, and then a lot of extra personnel support from the grant funding.
And looking forward, are there any programs that you're worried could be impacted by any future funding cuts?
Well, we're already seeing that there are grants that are on pause. So I have a couple of projects that we're trying to finish up. One is this family. We had a grant from the National Park Service that ended last September, and we are trying to create a book out of that. And have we had a Park Service employee who said that they thought that the National Park Service would be interested in this, but he's kind of not responding to emails right now, and I don't know what has happened to him. And then we had hoped and had a backup plan of applying for the Alaska Humanities Forum grant to fund the translator. We need an editor and a translator to create this final product, and that grant has already been, well, we think it'll be paused. They have an early one that's already out that's been paused, and so I think the one that opens up in the summer, which is what we were going to go for, will be paused as well. So that work will be directly impacted. Our National Endowment for the Humanities grant was impacted by that immediate cease order that Trump made. That one caused some disruption, but it's currently being funded. But I'm worried that we will have to let those five people go. And then we have all these other variety of projects like we don't know what the ripple effect is going to be to these other granting agencies. Even our grants that we get through foundation grants, like Museums Alaska, big help to us for getting collection supplies. I don't know how they'll be impacted. They are mainly funded by the Rasmussen Foundation, so maybe they'll be fine. But the Rasmussen Foundation may be tapped to help a lot more people, and there may be, you know, what may be more competitive for us. The other impact to us is not just the grants, but we've already had Canadians cancel their visits to our museum because the government's encouraging it, saying, please don't travel. The Canadians are pretty angry with the tariff that's out there. So we're already having those cancellations. So that's a direct impact of people who were going to come and would spend money at our museum. And I expect other nations might follow suit. So these impacts from the decisions our administration are making are going to have a big impact on us. And, you know, maybe it'll stabilize and things will get back to normal. But I think with this administration, we're not going to see a lot of funding come to the museum and come to things that are cultural, things that probably the government doesn't value at this time. Just hope folks will be aware of that and that these impacts are coming from a lot of different directions because a lot of different things are changing, like the layoffs of the federal workers. That's going to impact us. We do quite a bit with our federal partners, and I don't know what that is going to look like as we go forward. We've gotten a lot of free services from them as they give us expert advice on birds or marine life or vegetation in the Aleutians. They helped us with this outdoor sign design that should be going up pretty soon. And I hope that, you know, we'll still have those resources in the future, but I'm a little worried about our partners.
Mm-hmm. And what should Unalaskans know about how these federal cuts and freezes might change how MOTA interacts and provides services with the community?
Well, we might have to cut back on the kinds of activities we do, as we will have to rely on, you know, use our general revenue funds more for taking care of our collections, which we hope we don't have to do. So we hope, you know, for folks out there, just know we need a little extra love and attention right now. If you can make any donations, this would be a great time to do that. It is a unknown landscape that we're navigating this year. We don't know what our future is going to be, whereas, you know, we normally apply for 8 or 9 grants and get 4 or 5, and they're usually small. But this is what provides the opportunities to come in and learn about all the different things that we do, and helps us care for our collections. And so we might have to spend more time with the funding we can get to just care for our collections, as opposed to engaging as much as we try to do with the public.
That was Museum of the Aleutians Director Virginia Hatfield speaking about how the current administration's cuts on federal funding is impacting the Museum of the Aleutians. Congress is considering huge cuts to Medicaid, and Alaska healthcare experts say that would have an outsized impact on the state. A U.S. House Energy and Commerce Committee budget blueprint would hack out $880 billion, and much of that is expected to come from Medicaid. Medicaid is a government-funded health insurance program that covers almost 40% of Alaskans, mostly low-income people and those with disabilities. Right now, the federal government pays about 75% of the state's Medicaid budget, which was about $2 billion last year. Jared Kosin is president and CEO of the Alaska Hospital and Healthcare Association. He says the impact of Medicaid cuts to people, hospitals, and providers would be enormous.
It would be catastrophic, not only for the healthcare system, for Alaskans across our entire state.
Kosin says if Alaskans lose Medicaid coverage, many will have to use emergency room services for care. ERs can't turn people away, even if they're uninsured. And if people can't pay their bills, healthcare costs would go up for all Alaskans, even those with private insurance. Payments from Medicaid cover a major portion of clinic and hospital income in the state. And it also funds tribal health care. About 40% of the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium's income over the past year was through Medicaid. Experts say major cuts could eventually force providers or hospitals in Alaska to close. The impacts of major Medicaid cuts would also ripple through the state economy. Valerie Davidson was Alaska's health commissioner under former Governor Bill Walker. She says a big portion of Medicaid spending goes to medical travel.
It impacts airlines, it impacts transportation, it impacts every aspect of hospitality, hotels, restaurants, etc. And it is going to be devastating to the Alaska economy.
She says big cuts could also shutter small businesses who rely on the Medicaid expansion program to insure their employees. You can find a detailed exploration of the impacts of Medicaid cuts in the state on the web version of this story at alaskapublic.org. And in more federal funding news, Alaska experts on energy, housing, and infrastructure say almost $750 million is in limbo from President Donald Trump's funding freezes, and that uncertainty is affecting local infrastructure. The Trump administration paused funding for several major federal programs back in January. The freeze has interrupted projects in Alaska, like heat pump distribution and building infrastructure that would protect communities from storm surge and tsunamis. The disruption was discussed by 8 representatives from Alaska-based organizations during a joint virtual press conference on Tuesday. They said that in total, more than $5 billion is at risk from the bipartisan infrastructure law and over $720 million from the Inflation Reduction Act. But those numbers are a moving target, given that some programs have been frozen and unfrozen irregularly. Andy Romanoff is the executive director of a Southeast-based organization, Alaska Heat Smart.
Alaskans are losing from uncertainty. Homeowners are potentially losing. Workers are losing. Contractors are losing. And we hope that recent thawing of funds will somehow survive.
One of Alaska Heat Smart's projects aims to install heat pumps in dozens of communities and lower energy costs. But around $40 million of federal funding for that project has been frozen and reopened several times, which disadvantages everyone, but especially low-income families, he says. Tashina Duddle works at Deerstone Consulting, which supports tribal energy infrastructure projects across Alaska. She says many of the grants that are currently frozen for Alaska are slated to fund projects that prevent shore erosion and stabilize villages against permafrost melt, flooding, and extreme weather. One example is a program through the Bureau of Indian Affairs that supports tribally led climate adaptation. The program has allocated $72 million in funding for nearly 40 Alaskan tribal projects. It is now on pause.
Without this funding, villages will be lost to erosion, infrastructure will collapse under worsening climate conditions, communities will have to relocate without a plan, without resources, and without dignity.
Duddle adds that projects in question create crucial economic opportunities in rural communities. That includes construction jobs. She says that right now, agencies are unsure what projects will be able to move forward and what spending will be reimbursed. And that means that a meaningful construction season this summer is unlikely. Let's take a look at KUCB's community calendar for the week. The Museum of the Aleutians is hosting a volunteer day today to help with various projects, including digitization, education program preparation, and collections care. Volunteer day lasts from noon to 4:30 in the afternoon today. Get crabby at the Museum of the Aleutians during spring break with a Fish and Game Observer program tomorrow. The event is for kids and teens to learn what the Bering Sea Crab Observers do. Come practice measuring crabs and try on some fishing gear. The event takes place at the museum. It starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and lasts for an hour. After that, make a stuffed animal at the Museum of the Aleutians. This event runs from 2 to 4 tomorrow afternoon. The Polar Bear 5K run has been rescheduled to this Saturday. The course's route is from the community center towards Summer Bay and back. Check-in is at 1 o'clock and the race starts at 1:30. Also this Saturday is the Youth Swim League meet at the Unalaska Aquatic Center. That starts at 10 o'clock Saturday morning. Unalaska's Health Clinic is hosting two life-saving trainings on Saturday as well. Community members are invited to learn how to control bleeding and recognize life-threatening injuries at the Stop the Bleed training led by Alulik Family and Health Services clinical staff. The first group meets from 9 to 11 Saturday morning. The second session will begin at 11:30. More registration information can be found on the community calendar. And finally, you can enjoy some more arts and crafts at the Museum of the Aleutians on Sunday. From 2 to 4 o'clock Sunday afternoon, museum staff will lead a relaxing art lesson on Zentangles. Come learn more about the meditative art that uses structured patterns and natural objects like shells and rocks and create your own Zentangle. For more information on all these community events and more, head to our community calendar at KUCB.org. That's the news from Unalaska. I'm Taylor Heckert, and you're listening to KUCB 89.7 FM. That's my last newscast as a KUCB intern, and thank you so much to Unalaskans for welcoming me into your community. Find us online at KUCB.org, and please stay tuned for your local and marine weather forecasts.
It's time now for your community window here on KSDP. Starting with job openings, the QT Tribe of Sandpoint is looking for a grant writer, an executive director, and an environmental assistant. The Shimigan Corporation of Sandpoint is hiring a housekeeper and a bartender. The Belkoski Tribe of King Cove is looking for a part-time IGAP assistant and a full-time Belkoski Environmental Program assistant. EATS is hiring a behavior health trainee and a community health representative. Both of those positions can be in Sandpoint or King Cove. They're also hiring a community health aide for Falls Pass and Nelson Lagoon, a clinical information clerk for King Cove, and a clinical information clerk slash janitor for Cold Bay. Community announcements. Once again, congratulations on wrapping up your basketball season to the Rookies, Eagles, and Lady Eagles, and best of luck representing the Aleutian Chain Conference to the King Cove T-Jacks, who are advancing to state. And today is March 4th, 2025. Happy birthday to Shirley Smith. And that's all for the community window. If you have anything you'd like for us to put on the air or web, you can contact us through email at cw@apradio.org. You can call us at 907-383-5737, or you can still fax us at 907-383-5271. Also, look for updates, meeting archives, and more at apradio.org. I'm Amy Mack. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Funding for KSDP is made possible in part by the King Cove Corporation, operating the Fleets, Inn Hotel, the Heart Lakes Apartments, and the Last Hook Off Tavern. The King Cove Corporation is a proud sponsor of KSDP.
when he was 25. Speed jive, don't wanna stay alive when you're 25. And when the ceiling glows with moths and sparks, and Freddy's got spots from ripping up the sod from his face, funky little boat race. The television man is crazy, sent with juvenile delinquent wrecks. Oh man, I need TV when I got T-Rex. Oh brother, you can't, I'm a dude man.
Oh, the young dude.
Hey, dude.
Carry the news.
Where are you?
Goo, goo, goo,
dude. Stand up, come on.
Carry the news. Oh, the young dude.
I want to hear you.
Carry the news.
It's a real mean team, but we can love. Oh yes, we can love. And my brother's back at home with his Beatles and his Stones. We never got it off on that revolution stuff. What a drag. Too many snacks. Nah, I drunk a lot of wine and I'm feeling fine. Gotta raise some cab to bed. Oh, is that concrete all around? Or is it in my...
Thank you. I'm a Then it can be here to work is done on Earth as it is in Dallas. Come play with me in my room. You can hold me, yeah. I'm gonna be your boyfriend, boyfriend. You can't call me names, and nothing's gonna take the power away from my love.
Digging everything, and I'm you too. are getting uptight. Just let it groove its own way. Let it drain your worries away. Lay back and groove on a rainy day.
You are listening to KSDP Radio, 830 AM, Sandpoint, 88.1 FM on a translator, K201DA, King Cove, Alaska.
We built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll.
We built this city on The city that rocks, the city that never sleeps.